So it's 1 Timothy in chapter 5. And we're going to talk about something we probably don't talk about hardly at all, but it's directly in the scriptures. And that is, we're going to talk about caring for widows. Caring for widows. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to cover verses 1 through 16, but we're going to start down in verse 9 today. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to begin here with verse 9. Just kind of as we set this up, we'll talk more about this in a second, but just be thinking, this is really the whole idea of the day, is to honor Jesus, are we caring for the widows that the Lord has placed in our life? All right, everybody track with that? This means yes. This is what my pre-algebra teacher always said. This means yes. This means no. All right? I know it's a good day and the air conditioning's running. The preacher's already talked way too much because he had to do prayer time. And I know I have a soothing voice that puts you to sleep. I appreciate that. Today, I want you to think about, am I using my skills and abilities to care for the people that God has put in my path? Verse 9. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. How do you feel about helping people? Just generally speaking. Do you like to help people? It makes you feel good you help somebody? Most people feel that way, right? How do you feel about helping people who you think are getting one over on you? Anybody done that before? We got a few new people here, so you know how the preacher has got to share an old story that you've all heard 100 times, but the new people haven't. I remember one Christmas, we would raise get gifts together for needy families. And we had a certain organization we worked through, and we usually would get two to three kids, and we'd get their clothes sizes and get their toys. And so our church in Illinois, they were really good about getting Christmas gifts for these kids. It was awesome. And it was just like a celebration, and we didn't get to see their faces or anything, but it just felt so good, like, hey, we're helping people who are probably not going to get anything, and they're going to have something. One Christmas, a couple teenagers and an adult woman, they pulled in to the driveway of the church, and this is if you have to work at a church building, which I don't do that very often right now, you get a lot of people come through that need help. And so these kids and this lady came in, and they're like, oh, we don't have anything for Christmas this year. I'm like, well, we already do our little thing here, you know, with these other families. It would be so helpful. I was like, well, let me see what the church can do. So I rally the troops. I mean, we get all kinds of presents, a great big old pile. And they come back a few days later and pick up all the gifts. And they get in the car. And as they're leaving, the two kids in the back just kind of look at me and smirk. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm not the best at reading people. Ask my wife, she'd tell you I'm not great at it. But I knew something was up that day. I'm like, what is going on? I didn't think anything about it. I had to do something. I think I needed trash bags. So I went to Walmart to get some trash bags. And as I'm going into Walmart, I can see they've ripped off all of the wrapping paper on the presents. And they're taking everything into Walmart. And they're at the counter. I probably made a real mistake this day, maybe not, but I think I would have physically hurt someone if I had confronted them. So I didn't do it. And I just left it in the hands of the Lord. But oh, I was so mad. People took their own money, their own time, and you gave us a sad story, and it was a complete lie, just so you could go and return it and get some cash from Walmart and go do whatever you wanted. And I was, anybody ever had an experience like that before? So what do you do after that, right? You don't give to anybody, right? No. You have to be a worthy soul if you're going to get my money, right? I have a whole illustration I didn't use today because it's pretty long about someone who said, well, I only give to worthy souls. They have to be, if they're single, they have to be at least trying to apply for jobs. If they don't apply for a job every day, I'm not giving them any money. Have to be completely clean or I'm not giving them any money. If they're in my house, they better have their things organized and placed in a right. They have to be truly worthy for me to get. How many truly worthy people do you know that are worthy of receiving your funds? Well, the illustration said, well, there was a guy back in 1976 that I think might have been worthy. Were you truly worthy when Jesus came down and gave to you? Hang on now. See, the preacher's already preaching. I haven't got to the message yet. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's my, is that your money? That's my money. You want to get real spiritual about it, what do? Well, I'm being a steward of God's money. He wouldn't want me to waste it on somebody like that. Right? Because good thing God didn't waste anything on you, like the alabaster jar that was wasted on him. Woo! Where are we going, right? Yes! There's no truly worthy person in here today. So here's the thing. We're going to have a conversation this morning. Again, more of a teaching lesson. Hopefully we'll get back to normal here in a few weeks. But this is more of a teaching through Timothy. But I want you to think with me about how you are giving. How do you feel about helping people that claim to be believers, but they don't show it by their actions? A couple examples. Would you give food to a drug addict, or would you give shelter to someone who would not apply for a job? I can see the wheels turning. At least you're up with me for this moment, right? Okay? Did Jesus put stipulations on the people that he chose to help and to heal? You might say a little bit like, well, they had to have some faith or whatever kind of thing, right? Did they need to be demonstrating some sort of holiness before they received his grace? Ugh. So today we're going to look at the thoughts about widows from the Apostle Paul. They're super specific and very practical. And I think we need to be reminded as we're learning about this that he was trying to help the church function efficiently, but not necessarily putting stipulations on grace. But I would love to know what you think. So today, this is one of the unusual messages. When we're done, after service today or Wednesday night this week, I'd like to know what you think about how you give. And I want you to think about, as a church, how we give. So we're going to work our way through some things here. First off, in chapter 5, this could probably be its whole own sermon, but I'm going to try to keep it real quick. Look at respect in the church in verse 1. This is just 1 and 2, just so good. Respect in the church. Paul, again, speaking to Timothy, who's going to be pastoring, bishoping all these other small churches to help them develop. He says, "Do not rebuke an elder man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." How many groups are there? Verse 1 and 2. 4, right? How many groups? 4. Who's the first group? The old man. Who's the old man here today? Go ahead, be proud. I'm 55, I'm on my way to 56 next year. I would say I'm an old man, okay? Now, that's relative, right, as you talk about different things. But Paul tells Timothy, treat the old man with respect. He says, he doesn't say if you rebuke him, but he says, don't rebuke them how? Harshly. Do old men need rebuking? Come on, lady, can I get it? Thank you, Vicky. Old men need rebuking, right? This guy here, that guy there, even that guy there probably, although I really like Carrie, he's pretty nice. I don't know if he does or not. You need rebuking, right? We need correction. We need to be moved sometimes. We're headed the wrong direction, but here's the thing. Paul says, Timothy, when you're rebuking the old man, don't do it harshly, right? To be honest with you, what I think he's saying, the younger men can kind of handle it a little bit, right? You guys have seen coaches, and when coaches would get on to players, and we would really appreciate it. I remember Brooklyn, she had a basketball coach when she was young, and this coach, some people might think she's hypocritical, but she would be so mean and hard on some kids and so uplifting and encouraging to others because she knew what they needed and what would get the most out of them. So she would give them what they needed. And I think here, young men can kind of take it a little bit, right? It's all right. Sometimes young men there in the back row, the preacher may give it to you a little harsh, but you can handle it, right? But with older men, there's this idea of respect. And so even when you know somebody may be off the rails a little bit and they need rebuking, don't embarrass the older man and kill his pride. You can handle the problem, but do it with respect. Okay, who's the second group? Younger men, right? How you treat younger men as what? This is such good advice. Treat them as brothers, right? Treat younger men as brothers. How do you treat your brother? Well, mine, I'd put knots on their heads a little bit because I was the oldest brother. No, it's idea of love and working together and laboring together. Yes, treat them as brothers. Timothy, you're going to have some people younger than you. Treat them like your brothers. Treat them like you're the older brother. Look out for them. Give them good direction. Give them discernment. Give them wisdom. But love them and be a part of their life. Treat younger men as brothers. Then who is next? I got to be careful here. Old women, older women. We don't have any older women in our congregation. We will move on. Amen? No, right. Treat older women how? As your mothers, all right? Now, you may have a really easygoing mother. Don't raise your hand, but any of you have an easygoing mother today? Praise the Lord if you do. You may have a mother that drives you crazy. But the idea here is that you treat them with respect, okay? Timothy, when you're dealing with older women, and you may have some that they're just not all together, they're trying to tell you do crazy stuff, you can, again, they can be rebuked, but it needs to be respectful, not with some sort of disrespect or arrogance. Treat them like you would treat your mother. That's really good instruction, isn't it, right? The last one, which is awesome for all men, but especially young men, and especially young men in ministry, is how should you treat younger women? As your sister. Again, your sister may drive you crazy, right? But hopefully, your sister, you're looking out for her protection, right? You're looking for her development, her growth, her encouragement. A good brother is watching out for their sister, right? That's what a good brother should be doing. Timothy, be a good brother. And then he says this little phrase, which I think is awesome, with absolute what? Purity. In ministry, sometimes you're helping somebody who is really in need. And sometimes people that are really in need, they're not always thinking clearly. And sometimes they build bonds and affections with someone who is helping them that otherwise they wouldn't build, right? Timothy, you treat them with absolute purity, right? We live in a world, and I hope you guys, this word tracks with you, where we are taught, young men are taught to objectify women. And everybody's taught to objectify for some reason too. I'm not just saying nobody else is, but specifically young men, rape the girl. This is how it works. That's what our society teaches. And what Paul here says to Timothy, no, 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 you're different. You're going to treat younger women as your sister, to look out for them, to protect them, for their development, for their growth, and you are not objectifying them. As a matter of fact, you're treating them with absolute purity. Everybody tracking with that? I mean, that's just good stuff to underline, put it on your wall in your house, right? That is great advice in dealing with people, and most of it is built and based upon respect. Out of this, he's going to switch, and the whole rest of this message today is about the idea of widows, and he's going to talk about widows in need. And I'm going to use this today for you to think about how you are caring for people in your family and in your community, and how you are caring, and how we are caring for people in our church, then more broadly, how we as a church care for people in our community. And I want you to think how the Lord, are we on the right track? And so we're going to use these words from the Lord to help us with that today. Look down again, if you would, there in verse 3. Widows in need. Paul, writing to Timothy again, he says, give proper recognition to those widows who are what? Who are really in need. So there's a qualifying piece to what is needy, right? This is tricky. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and their grandparents. For this is what? It's so good. This is pleasing to God. You want to make God happy? Care for your parents and your grandparents who cared for you. Wow, that's pretty clear, isn't it, right? All right, keep going. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has, look at this, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. All right, bear with me here, all right? We're going to make our way through this couple paragraphs here. The church has a responsibility to widows, and especially widows in need. Now, culture is different today than it was then. You would be hard-pressed to find any widow with any education, and probably many or any that had a paying job. Our culture, lots of widows are working, right? Lots of them have degrees. Lots of them have opportunity to find some provision. It still would be unbalanced. I think men more likely, even still in our day, would probably be more likely to have funding than a widow. But in this day, an older widow, her likeliness of being able to have any provision for herself was almost zero. So what Paul is saying to the church is the church has a responsibility. Now here's what I want to tell you today, church. We have a responsibility to widows in our church. Take with me just a second. There's a few of them sitting in our congregation right here today that are widows. There are a few here that are part of our church family that are not in here today because of health reasons. They can't be here. Are we, as a church, taking care of widows as the Lord would have us to take care of in our own church community? That's what I want you to pray about. I want you to think about. I want to talk about that. And as we go through the next few weeks, I want you to be, if the Lord speaks to your heart and you're like, hey, preacher, I thought about this and I think we could do better. And here's how maybe something we should consider. I want you to bring those things up. Real quick, your board members, Megan's not here today, Ray is here, and Todd is there, and Rick is there, and I'm there. So that's the five board members of your church. If you have concerns or ideas about widows, we want to hear them, okay? We want to follow the Lord's plan in this. The church has a responsibility to its widows. Now, what's interesting here, and you heard it, Paul qualifies widows here where it's widows in need, and he's going to define what that is. First off, he says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, what should happen? Who needs to step up? Woo! Paul not pulling any punches, is he, right? Now, how does that work in a very practical way in a church setting? If a widow in our church comes to the ministry board and they're like, hey, I just don't have enough money to eat. I really need help. Do we say, well, if you would just go talk to your lousy, no good kids and grandkids, and they should take care of you because we're not doing it? That you kind of think about that for a second. You're like, wait a minute, that's some pretty strong words, isn't it, right? And so especially if the kids and grandkids are professing that they're believers, and that they love the Lord, but they're not taking care of their mom or their grandma, something is wrong, right? And that's what Paul is pointing out to Timothy. If you see young people that are not taking care of their parents or grandparents, and they should be, you, Timothy, need to go approach them and tell them that they need to step up. That's not something we really hear that much, right? That kind of strong language. Again, he's defining widows in need, and what he's saying is, if a widow has kids or grandkids that can care for them, let them do that. And so here's what I want to challenge us all with today. Part of living out our faith is caring for our family. Again, there's clear instruction that believers should work at caring for their own family. And again, what a wonderful truth. Paul says to Timothy, this is pleasing God. You want to make God happy? Take care of your parents. Take care of your grandparents as you have opportunity, as the Lord guides you in those things. The in-need widows will not have kids and grandkids who are able and who are doing their duty to take care of them. And so he's going to qualify that with that, again, that phrase. He does say that this widow who is in need, she is seeking the Lord's help first. That's powerful, isn't it, right? She is seeking his help. The widow who's just looking to seek her own pleasure doesn't qualify and needs to be redirected to spiritual things. And then Paul gives a super strong reminder, and I put it up on the screen because I want to, this is some of the strongest words of the New Testament. He says, anyone who does not provide for their family, especially for their own house, has denied their faith and is worse than a what? If you got your good old King James Bible there, I believe it says infidel. When you hear the word infidel, that strikes something in you, right? If you are going to come in here and sing Who Else Is Worthy and praise the Lord, and you're like, yeah, but I'm going to spend my money on me. I'm not taking care of my mom or my family or my wife or my kids because I got stuff I want to do. They'll just have to deal with it. You are worse than an unbeliever. Those are strong words, aren't they, right? We need to care for our families. And one of the ways that's an evidence of our faith is that we do care for our families. What's amazing to me is we know how much Paul thought about faith. As a matter of fact, James and Paul almost have a little bit of argument because James talks about good works so much and Paul's always talking about faith. But here for Paul, faith is an action, and people of faith will be striving by the grace of God to care for their family, not abandoning them. These are hard words. In my ministry, I actually had to approach someone and remind them of these words because they weren't caring for their family even though they had the capacity to do so. Like, you've got to get this straightened out. This is a terrible testimony that you won't provide for your own family, but you have the ability to do that, right? So again, we encourage each other in this area. So let's take just a second here. I want to give you some important questions as you think about this first idea of widows in need and really about yourself today. First off, are you caring for your family? Is it wrong if the wife makes more money than the husband? Man, the wife should just make all the money, right? Then we just go fishing, amen? No, that's wrong. Are you caring for your family? It doesn't matter who's making what in our culture. What matters is, are you, with the Lord's help, doing your best to make sure your family has food and shelter and love? Everybody tracking with that? All right. Are you living out your faith by caring and providing for those in your life? Do you see how this is a evidence of your trust in Jesus, right? Hey, we all have bad times. We all have struggles. Sometimes we'll get fired or lose a job. And sometimes the cupboard doesn't have all the great snacks in it, right? And we have to dig deep and we have to go and sometimes live on a lot less. But Lord, help us that we would trust him in those times and we would still, through his power, provide for our families. I think that's important. Second thing here today, as a church, are we caring for widows in need? Do we have any widows that have no family to take care of them? And if we did, how would we go about providing for them? Are we taking care of widows in our church family as we should? This third question, this is a really hard one for me. Does this absolve the church from helping people who cannot get help from their own family? Let's make sure we're on the same page, all right? If we had a widow in our church family, and she did have children, and she did have grandchildren, and they were doing fine, but they refused to help their mom or their grandma, is it the church's, then we can say, well, they have kids or grandkids, so sorry, they're not doing right, we're not going to worry about you. That's a hard thing to think about too, right? No, we're going to make sure that we find a way to care for that person, but we also probably are going to need to have some conversations with some people. You can see how this is biblical, right? This is not just some preacher soapbox. We need to talk with some people and say, hey, you need to be providing and caring for your family, and you're not doing it, and you're becoming a burden on us when we could be helping other people, but we're having to pick up your slack because you're not doing the job that God has called you to do. So yes, I say we would still help, but we're going to have some conversation in that. You see what you think about that. Finally, the fourth question about this little paragraph here. What about helping people who are seeking their own pleasures? Did you catch that about the widows who were seeking their own pleasure? Paul said they're already dead. In other words, they need to be redirected. They need to be guided to what's most important. Have you ever been trying to help someone and you realize that they were just seeking their own pleasure? This is so silly, but one of my favorite episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond. Robert, he just has no food, whatever. He needs a loan, and so Raymond gives him a loan. I think it's like $2,000. And after he gets the $2,000, does anybody know what Robert does? He goes to Vegas. And Raymond just loses his mind. What are you doing? I just gave you that money so you could have rent. And so he's like, I haven't had a vacation in 2 years. I need a vacation, man. I'm going to Vegas. Oh, right? How do you feel about helping people who are seeking their own pleasure? Again, that's kind of an interesting conversation, isn't it, right? Do you know their motives? Do you know their need? And again, what's the Lord speaking to you? Are you glad that the Lord helped you when you were seeking your own pleasure and he pulled you out of that? There's a lot of things to consider in that scenario, right? Okay, real quick, let's look at younger widows. Younger widows. As for younger widows, verse 12, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Again, the idea here is that they made a decision, I am not going to remarry, I'm going to serve the church, but being a younger widow, they realized, no, I still want to have family, I still want to, and that battle is going on. That's what Paul's talking about. Thus, they may bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Look at this next verse, it's really hard. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. All right? Younger widows. Does the church have no responsibility to younger widows? We have a responsibility to younger widows. We absolutely do, right? But the idea is, to what level of help and where is our priority and where can we be most effective? And so here Paul is pointing out younger widows, they may have spiritual desires and they may want to serve the church, but he's also mindful that practically most younger widows will come to a place where they want to have family, especially in the context of the first century here that we're looking at. I want to point this out, and this is a really, it's kind of a side thing, but it's real powerful to me. Paul here does not forbid remarriage. As a matter of fact, he does what? He encourages it. Everybody tracking with that? Because you'll hear sometimes when people are like, well, you're married and you're married for life, and if you, somebody's spouse dies, you should never, ever, ever get remarried. Biblically, everybody catching that? Biblically, this is not penology. Paul here is saying it is good for a younger widow to, he's not saying she has to do it. He's not saying that every younger widow should do it. He's saying it is a good thing if a younger widow remarries, okay? So I think that's an important little side note as you're working your way through this. Paul notes that young widows, just like all the rest of us, they need purpose in their life. And if they don't have purpose, then what are they tempted to do? If they didn't have a job, and the church was providing for their needs, and they were like, well, I'm dedicated to the church, but then they started to kind of, again, they have a lot of energy. What are they? Well, they're going to go to so-and-so's house. Maybe they're going to help clean their house as part of their church responsibility. Have a little conversation, and then they start having a little gossip. Then they go to the next house, and they go to the next place, and they go to the next place. The next thing you know, you have this idol or busybody who's involved in creating drama, and Paul's like, they need to get married. They need to have kids, and they need to take care of their family. That sounds very chauvinistic, doesn't it, right? But seriously, they need purpose in their life, and they didn't have purpose, right? Again, he's not saying that all younger widows should remarry and have children, but he's saying in many cases, that would give them purpose, and that would help them, and it would also help the church. Again, he does make this appeal too, I think, because he's seen what's really sad is there were some young widows who were part of the church and they left it. Do you think that there are young widows, any widows, who were part of a church and when they needed the church to step up, the church wasn't there for them. The church didn't help them because the church was too busy seeking itself. And those widows decided, well, I didn't get any help there. I'm going to go see if the world can give me help. Are you hearing me today? You guys, this is for any people in need. especially people of the household of faith, we got to figure out how we can best serve and support each other. And it's not always a handout of money, amen? Sometimes it's a card, sometimes it's a prayer, sometimes it's a visit, sometimes it's driving someone somewhere. There's so many ways that we can help people, but we should not be neglecting people in need in our own church family, and we need to be praying about that. Okay, finally, let's look at the role of the church in verse 16. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so the church can help those widows who are really in need. So it would appear here that there was actually some women who were organizing care for the widows. And they were doing it in their own with their own means. So maybe, I'm just making all this up, but maybe this young wife or this wife, she had a husband of influence and they had a lot of funds. And she was able to organize and get some other people to get funds. And then this woman was able to care for other widows. Paul says, if she's doing that, that's great, so that the church can focus on other needs. That would be awesome. Keep doing the thing that you're doing. But then he does say there are widows who are really in need. If you go back a few verses, what were those widows doing? They were washing the saints' feet. Does that mean they were coming to Cross Life's foot washing service twice a year? Well, maybe. What it means is that they were serving people in their church family. What else did it say about them? They were praying day and night, right? Again, please bear with me, this sounds a little humorous, but they weren't just sitting home watching Netflix, right? They were serious about their service for the Lord. And that's what is another part of making them widows in need, because they had a dedication that was exceptional. So as we wrap all this up this morning, let's talk about these things and we'll be done. A few important reminders. What's the purpose of the church? Is the purpose of the church to feed the homeless? Is that the main purpose of the church? No. Is the main purpose of the church to fund any type of need? Is that the main purpose of the church, to fund need? No, it's not. What's the purpose of the church? The first purpose of the church is right up there, right? The first purpose of the church is we are here and we gather together, not just this building, but we gather and meet together to worship an almighty, holy God. That's why we're created, and that's why we exist, to magnify Jesus by worshiping the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're about. We can get sidetracked sometimes and really become a humanitarian organization. Humanitarian organizations are awesome, and then when that they're achieving their purpose, they're doing great. The church's first primary obligation is not to be a humanitarian organization. It is to worship a holy God. What's the second purpose? Tell people about Jesus. All right? Now, if somebody comes to you and they're in desperate need, and you're like, I'm not going to help you with your need, but I'm going to tell you about Jesus, are you really helping that person? Right? We can do both. Amen? I can help you with your need, but I also, your most important need is that you would know Jesus Christ, because you're going to meet him and you're going to stand before him and he's going to be on a throne and you're going to be in this little spot and you've got to answer for who you are and what you've done. Are you ready to meet Jesus? That's the second thing that the church ought to be about. Right? Now, the third thing is we should be doing what for our believers? We should be edifying them, building them up, strengthening them. And that's what we do here every week, right? Directly, none of those things were about humanitarian need. Are you with me? I see your minds are clicking. You're like, hey, preacher, I'm not sure about this. I want you to help me process here, all right? Now, here's the thing. The scripture is clear that the church should help those in need, but it's not our primary purpose. Let me give you a couple scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Paul writes there, he says, share with the Lord's people who are in need and do what? Practice hospitality. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. There you can see very clearly the church should be about helping the Lord's people who are in need, right? That's part of what we do. And then in James chapter 1, verse 27, I love this one. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after who? Orphans and who else? Woo! Is that clear? Look after orphans and widows and keep yourself from being polluted by the world. You want to show your faith? Take care of the people who need the most help and keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's a pretty clear direction, right? All right. And just that you think that this is some sort of escape from you with personal generosity, a couple things real quick. Proverbs 19:17, again, a wonderful verse. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to who? That's so good, isn't it? Whoever is kind to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. How would you like to have the Lord be in your debt? That's a thought, isn't it, right? Whoever lends to the poor is lending to the Lord, and he will have reward for what they have done. There's another verse. Put it up in your house and teach your kids. Take care of poor people. Amen? Again, personal responsibility, very clear. And then probably the most convicting one, Matthew 25:34. You guys know this, but again, a reminder that the call for us is to serve and to give and to be generous. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was what? I was hungry. I don't know what they're going to do with that money downtown. They're probably doing drugs down there. They're probably going to abuse that. I don't want to help them. This is my money. I want it. I'm giving it. Anybody else under conviction? Jesus says, I was what? He didn't say they were hungry. He said, I was hungry. And you righteous ones, you did what? You gave me something to eat. Are you here, the Lord? I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you looked after me, and I was in prison, and you came to visit me. That is sharing the gospel. You hear me? When you go into those places as a believer and you are saying, I'm giving you food because God has enabled me to be able to do this. You go into a jail and you say, I'm telling you about Jesus and encouraging you because God has given me blessing. When you go to the servant's heart and you're giving clothes or you're giving food there, you're saying this and they're doing it so much in faith as they do it as well. This is what it is to truly share the gospel, taking the truth of Jesus with us as we meet people in these needs. All right, your three questions, and then we're done this morning. Are you taking care of those in need in your family? How are you doing? Husbands, can I get on you a little bit today? How are you doing? Are you taking care of your wife? Not just her physical needs, but her emotional needs? Not just her financial needs, but are you truly the companion she needs you to be? How are you doing, husbands? Are you taking care of those? Parents, how are you doing with your kids today? Are you taking care of the needs of your children? Again, not just shelter and not just all the opportunities that all their friends have in the same school, but are you taking care of those spiritual needs that your friends have? Are you looking after them? How are you doing taking care of your family? Second thing, are we as a church, as Cross Life very specifically, are we taking care of those in need in our church family? How are we doing? We may need to evaluate that a little bit today. Amen? We may be asking the Lord, Lord, are we helping the people that need the help in our church the way that we can help them? And the final question of the day, and this is why we're doing what we're doing even today, are we being generous and serving those in need in our community? I was hungry. Okay. That's Jesus. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was in jail. I didn't have any clothes. I was sick and in the hospital. If he were writing it today, he would say I was in the nursing home. Are you hearing the Lord today? We have people in our own church family Do they know that we love them? Have we been to their house? Have we visited them? Have we patted them on the back? Have we prayed with them? Have we sent them a text or a card saying, we love you, we haven't forgotten you, we need you to know we care about you? Or are we so busy taking care of ourselves that we're missing an opportunity to be used by the Lord to really minister? The Lord's talking today, isn't he, right? Our job is to respond, and I can't hear what you're hearing, and maybe he's telling you, a neighbor or a friend or family member, or maybe there's somebody in our church, the Lord right now is saying to you, you need to go and love on that person. And so I'm just asking you and me today to be honest before the Lord and obedient, and when the Lord says help, that we would go and in faith, we would trust him for the resources to do what he'd have us to do. Amen? Let's stand this morning.